All right, we are back in week three of this message series called The Journey. And really, it's about the journey that all of us have, but we're looking at the book of Exodus. And the reason that we're looking at the book of Exodus, because if you don't know, as a church, we're reading through the McShane Bible reading plan for the whole year. Now, not everybody's doing that, but a lot of people are. And so let me just encourage you, wherever you're reading in the Bible, just read and seek God and ask Him to show you what He has for you. Because here's what I know is going to happen. You're going to find out that He's got a call on your life, that He wants you to embrace Him and know Him and trust Him. There's going to be a call that He may whisper to you. It may be just a simple call to help your neighbor with something. It may be a simple call to seek Him more. But here's what we see in the journey, this spiritual journey and this life journey that we're on as we follow Jesus. Just like Moses in the book of Exodus, there's a call on our life. There's also, just like Moses, a tendency for us to live in a place of insecurity and say, you got the wrong person. God, I can't be what you've called me to be. And Moses felt that way. That was last week. We talked about that. But I want you to know, just like Moses had to step out in faith and trust God and believe that God was who He said He was, but also believe that He could be used. See, that's the thing. Like, there's a call on each of us, but we have to overcome those insecurities to know that God is going to use us. And you say, I'm not worthy. Well, guess what? God makes us worthy because He calls us. It's Him that does the good things through us. We just have to allow Him to do it. So that's the first two steps of the journey are, number one, I know there's a call on my life. God, I hear You whispering to me. So I'm going to step into it. That's the second part. I'm going to, in spite of my protests and like, I don't think I can do it, because Moses had so many of those, he still ultimately stepped out and he followed God. And when you answer the call, when you overcome those insecurities, or you go in spite of them, God shows up. So if there's a title to this message, I don't know that there is, though I put it at the top of my notes here. I called it God Moments, because when we answer God, when we embrace that call in our life, when we go, okay, I'm going to go, even though I don't feel like I'm worthy, I'm going to step out in spite of my insecurities, and I'm going to do what You've called me to, God. What happens next is that the miraculous begins to take place. But the miraculous is always focused on bringing freedom and deliverance to others. Now, we get to experience that as well, but our faith is never just for us. If you look through the Bible, one of the primary themes is that God's purpose and plan for us is never just for us. In fact, it may be that we reap the benefits, like what we sow, we get to reap. And so God will use us to sow seeds of freedom and deliverance. He does this with Moses. If you know the story in the book of Exodus, the nation of Israel is in slavery, and God picks this one guy that seems unqualified. At least he thinks he's unqualified. And God says, no, I'm sending you. I'm calling you. In spite of where you've messed up, I'm sending you. And God does that with us. He wants to use us to bring freedom and deliverance to people who live in bondage, who live oppressed, who live full of fear, full of doubt, full of insecurity, searching for meaning. God wants to use you. So when you answer that call and step out, some miraculous things happen. So I'm just going to kind of go through a good portion of the book of Exodus with you. In chapter 3, we see the call of Moses at the burning bush. In chapter 4, we see Moses saying, you got the wrong guy. And then God speaks to him, and ultimately God answers every protest with, hey, I'm with you, don't worry. Finally, he even says, fine, I'll give you some help, sends Aaron, his brother, to help him. In chapter 5, though, really chapters 5 through chapters 18, we see miracle after miracle. So, you know, God told Moses, you're going to go to Pharaoh. You're going to tell him, let my people go. And, you know, Moses does that. Even though he's fearful that he's going to be killed, God says, no, I'm going to be with you. And then we see chapter 6, it promises deliverance. And in chapter 7, we see this miracle, and Pharaoh doesn't believe Moses. And so Moses throws down his stick, and his staff, and it turns into a snake. I mean, it's miracle after miracle. Then the plagues begin, because Pharaoh, regardless of every miracle where God shows up, he still won't relent, and he still won't let the nation of Israel out of slavery, out of bondage. Plagues of blood, plague of frogs, plague of gnats, plague of flies, plague against livestock. Now we're in chapter 9, a plague of hail. Chapter 10, a plague of locust, and a plague of darkness. Chapter 11, if I can get there. Death for Egypt's firstborn. We see the last of the 10 plagues. It's Passover. We're not going to get into all that, but it was crazy, miraculous, and a picture of God's really redemptive nature for his people. And then we see Passover in chapter 13, we see deliverance. In chapters 12 and 13, we see deliverance. In chapters 14. In fact, I put it in my Bible, I right here, it says God moment number one. Like, all of those miracles are taking place. But that's the first thing that we see, is we see miracles take place when we step out in faith and speak God's words of life to those who are in bondage and to the oppressor. Now, the oppressor that we're talking about now in this world, you know, we don't have a king that's oppressing us. We don't. But many, many people are living in bondage. When we speak to them and say, you can have freedom, God's purpose and plan for you to have freedom, watch the miracles begin. Watch also the resistance, because Moses encountered resistance, but as Moses stood fast and stood in faith and continued to speak life, to speak freedom and say, God has freedom for his people. God has freedom for his people. And listen to me right now. God has freedom for you. And I hope you know that. And he wants you to be a deliverer as well. As you step out into that, the miraculous takes place. But then we see that there's just, those are God moments. In fact, as he's leading them out of Egypt, it says in chapter 13 that the Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. What a huge God moment. Like, all of those miracles with the plagues were awesome, but the people that are being led out of deliverance, God is going before them and showing them the way. What a cool God moment. Then in chapter 14, they're up against the sea, and then Pharaoh changes his mind, sends the whole nation, the whole army of Egypt out against them, and they're butted up against the Red Sea. And then in chapter 14, we see this huge God moment where God parts the Red Sea and delivers them, and then they get through to the other side. The Egyptians are following through, but God twists the wheels. I mean, it's kind of crazy. He twists the wheels of their chariots, and they all get stuck, and then the sea crashes in on them, and their enemy army is destroyed, and they walk in freedom. They walk away from Egypt free. They also don't walk away poor, because God had put it on the hearts of all the Egyptians to give them all of their stuff, starting with their gold. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Because God moments are for real when we step out in obedience in spite of our insecurities and fears, and we begin to speak life and deliverance and freedom. God shows up really in miracles. And the truth be told, I can look back on my life and go, wow, miracle after miracle, but they came because I was stepping out in obedience. And at the time it was a miracle, but honestly, it was under so much like stress and resistance that you're just like, if there wasn't a miracle, I think I might die. And I think that oftentimes we see that the nation of Israel facing that sea thought they were going to die. And then God shows up. It's amazing. The miracles of God, everybody prays for the miracles of God, but let me just tell you, the reason that God does the supernatural miracle in our life is only because we need one. And if you've ever been a place where if God doesn't show up, you're in big trouble, that's not a fun place. And the miracle is like a breath of fresh air. It's not even something you really get to relish in the moment, because you're just so overwhelmed and grateful that God showed up, but there's still a journey at hand. And this is where we are. We see that they're on this journey. In chapter 15, they're singing a song of deliverance and gratitude. Then we see another God moment. So God moment number one that I started tracking, at least, was in chapter 13. God moment number two, we see escape through the Red Sea. God moment number three, the bitter water at Marah was turned to to Sweetwater, chapter 16. They were hungry. They were complaining. And this is, by the way, a theme on the journey. So many people complain. And yet God shows up, manna and quail from heaven. That was God moment number four. God moment number five, they're thirsty, begin to complain. God provides water from a rock. Moses struck this rock and water gushed out and they were all able to drink and live. And God moment number six, they defeated their enemies, the Amalekites that are after them. And then we see a shift. God takes them to Sinai. And so I just want you to know on the journey, there are God moments. They're miraculous moments. We look at the plagues that Pharaoh wouldn't listen, wouldn't let the nation go. 10 plagues. You know, then the pillar of cloud to lead them in the day, the fire at night, the sea parting. And then he takes them to Sinai, which is quite a ways from Egypt. The army's been killed. The Egyptian army is no more. There's no more threat to their life, and God is bringing them. God's bringing them to a place of promise that he said is going to be awesome. But they stop at Sinai. And in chapter 19, we see these mountaintop experiences where Moses goes up on the mountain and God meets with him. And the reality is that in our walk with God, there are those mountaintop moments where God speaks clearly. I so want that for you. What are the mountaintop moments for me? I mean, you know, at 14, when God spoke to me, it didn't feel like a mountaintop, but it was where God really began to speak to me. First in the Bible, Galatians 1:10, and he spoke to me, "Who are you trying to please?" Galatians 1:10. Who are you trying to please? If you're still trying to please people, you're really not a servant of Christ. And that was a mountaintop moment for me because it's where I met God. Like I'd surrendered my life to him, but it was a mountaintop moment. At 19 years old, when I graduated high school at 17, was and at 17 in college, and by 19, I'm planning to go to med school and doing really well in an accelerated program to do that. And God clearly spoke to me. It was a mountaintop moment. At 22, when God just so spoke to me to be in ministry. At 31, when he called me to Lake Charles, there are mountaintop moments. In chapter 19, Moses has a mountaintop moment. And in that mountaintop moment, God gives him the Ten Commandments. And we see the next chapter 20 that God gives him these commandments, the Ten Commandments that are still valid for us today. Then he gives him instructions on how the people of Israel should live. These mountaintop moments in our life are the same thing. So on our journey, we're going to encounter the miraculous. We're going to have the mountaintop moments. And in chapter 24, we see that Moses is again up on the mountaintop. But this time it says, "The Lord instructed Moses, come up here to me and bring along Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of Israel's elders." Here's the point. Our God moments may be miraculous, but only when we're on the journey with him. So I need God to move. Are you following him? Are you looking for him to guide you? Lord, I need you to show me the next step. That cloud in the day and that fire at night, let me just tell you, you better be following God. And that's when the miracles happen. And then he'll always bring you to a place where he speaks. Those are the mountaintops, but they're not just for you because God wants you to bring other people to the place where they hear his voice as well. That's chapter 24. They climb up. And I'm painting with such a big brush today, but guess what? If you're in the McShane reading plan, in just a couple weeks, you'll be reading this. And I want you to remember, and this is kind of a teaching message rather than a preaching one, that when you answer the call, when you step out in faith, in spite of maybe some doubts or insecurities that you may have, and you follow God, that's when the miraculous happens. And as you walk through those difficult seasons that seem a little scary, maybe the enemy is really showing up and that there's some real resistance, just like Moses and the nation of Israel had, you know that on the other side of that are mountaintop moments where God speaks to you, and he speaks to you about what he has for you and how you're called to live and where you're called to go. That's what happens in chapter 19. In chapter 24, God makes a covenant with his people out of a mountaintop moment. And I wanted to find that mountaintop moment is when God clearly speaks to us. So, in answering the call, stepping out in faith, faith greater than doubt and fear, there's miracles, there's mountaintops moments. But in chapter 31, I really think we see the meaning of our call to speak life and hope and deliverance to people. Because chapter 31 is the first time in the Bible where we see God's Spirit being poured out on someone, someone filled with the very Spirit of God. And just as Moses and then the 70 elders and the priests had been on the mountaintop and God made a covenant with them. In fact, it says that he had a meal with them, which actually corresponds so beautifully with Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, where Jesus says, hey, I'm standing at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. If you open your heart to me, I'm going to come in. We're going to sit down and have a meal. Well, what did that mean? And that culture and what we see both in Exodus and in Revelation is that that's a covenant moment where it says, we are going to share life. I'm going to share life with you. And so that's what God's calling us to. But what's the point behind it? God, I'm following you. Yeah, the point is freedom and deliverance. But I really think in chapter 31, it comes full circle because we see the Holy Spirit being poured out on this one guy to make things beautiful. Because in chapter 31, God begins to give the instructions on the tabernacle, the physical place, much like a church building, but this was a tent where his presence would reside and people knew this is where I can go and I know that God is there. And so this is what we see in chapter 31. I think it's the meaning behind, like, what is the point if I'm going to follow God and I'm going to step out in faith and speak life to people? Why? What's the whole point? Just like so that we can operate in freedom? Well, yeah, that's part of it. But it's because he values beautiful things, and there's nothing more beautiful than his children operating in the gifting, the calling and purpose that he has for them. Look at this. I love it. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the grandson of Hur from the tribe of Judah. Chapter 31, verse 3. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, an expert in gold, silver, and bronze. He's skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He's a master at every craft. And if you read through the next remaining chapters of Exodus, God used this man and actually one other person. In the next verse, it says, Oholiab, he's anointed him as well. And they built everything that was inside of the tabernacle. These two guys were responsible for overseeing all of the construction of the place where God resides. And it was outrageously beautiful and gorgeous. I mean, they're carving things and making things. It was beautiful. Here's why, because the call on our life is contingent on us stepping out in obedience over our fears and our doubts to bring us to the place where we encounter God, because he knows that if he can get us to that place, he's going to use us to make things beautiful. Why did God build a place for him, like his presence to reside? Why? Because he wanted people to know, I'm with you. I'm here. But look at what he says. He says, I've chosen Bezalel. And here's what I want you to know. Just as God chose Bezalel with purpose, God has chosen you with purpose. It says he chose him. God's chosen you. He's chosen you. Then it says that I filled him with the Spirit of God. When you choose to embrace God's purpose and plan for your life, he fills you with his Spirit. And he calls you to make things beautiful. What we think is very important, and we're called to have the mind of Christ, but what we do is really what we leave behind. Do you know that God's chosen you? See, everybody wants the miracles. Everybody wants the mountaintops. But the meaning behind both of those is that God has chosen you. He's filled you with his Spirit. He's gifted you and called you to make things beautiful and to make a place for his presence. Are you doing that? We so focus on the mountaintops. We so focus on the miracles. But God's called us to make things beautiful, starting with people. So let's pray that today he does that through us. Father, may we know that you've chosen us. Father, I just pray that those that hear my voice know that right now that you're putting your finger on their heart and they're saying, I have chosen you. And that God, that they know that your desire is to fill them with your Spirit. So Lord, if there's anything that's inside of them, and maybe you're listening and you know there's some junk in you that you need to empty out so that God can fill you with his presence, his power, his Spirit. And so Father, if that's them, Lord, may you right now, you convict them. May they turn from anything that is sin, anything that is darkness, anything that is not from you. May they empty themselves of that. Ask for forgiveness for their sin. Repent of that. Turn from it and turn to you. And God, may you use them to make things beautiful, starting with the people right around them, because you've made them beautiful first. In Jesus' name, amen. Stay strong. Love you guys. See you soon.